This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of February 10th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad cop.
No, donut.
Bad. Cop.
No. Donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto.
What I saw jeopardizes the work that we have done to try to build that bond of trust between the department and the community. The only way that we can reach our goal of making this the safest city in America is to have that bond of trust.
A police officer in Los Angeles who is videotaped repeatedly striking a car thief with a metal flashlight will not have charges filed against him. The district attorney says that there's not enough evidence that the beating was not legally necessary, and he says the videotape does not tell the entire story. Officer John Hatfield, the officer who administered the beating, claims that he thought his victim had a gun. No gun was ever found. In announcing this week that Hatfield would not be charged, prosecutors noted many omissions, errors, and inconsistencies in reports about the incident submitted by the police officers involved.
They would wait until their cupboards were virtually empty to go to the store. One man told me that he hadn't driven since he'd been stopped because he was so afraid of racial profiling.
Police say to the lady, give me dinero, because this lady doesn't speak English.
I guess he told the Hispanic community that you go to her, we're going to call the immigration authority, get your shit back. Oftentimes they don't have driver's license and they get stopped and they're vulnerable.
In Canton, Mississippi, three police officers have been arrested in the past month after many allegations from members of the town's Latino community that police officers stole money from them. The most recent allegation is against Officer Roger Thomas, who was arrested on January 26th and charged with extortion. A man claims that Thomas stopped him for running a red light, which he hadn't done, and then took him into a police station. Once at the station, Thomas asked the man if he had any money, and then took the $300 the man had on him and put it into his desk. The recent arrests of officers have created a shortage of officers available for duty in the town. Scheduled meetings between police officials and community members organized specifically to deal with complaints against police officers will likely worsen the police shortage in Canton. A man who was wrongly accused of murder has filed a lawsuit against police in Kenora, Ontario, seeking $5 million in damages. The man was charged with murder in October 2000, and the charge was stayed by a judge last February. The judge who threw out the case also accused three Kenora police officers of egregious acts of misconduct. The officers, Thomas Favreau, Lloyd White, and Chris Ratchford, were accused of perjury and of suppressing evidence which pointed to the accused man's innocence. A case against a second suspect, who was also the nephew of one of the officers, was never investigated. An Ontario Provincial Police investigation of the case recommended that the officers not face criminal charges, but both Favreau and White face less serious charges under the Police Services Act. New information has come to light in a Broward County, Florida police scandal involving falsification of records to improve crime statistics. Last month, two deputies, Chris Thyman and Christian Zapata, were accused of official misconduct for pinning burglary cases on suspects who didn't commit the crimes. On Monday, a report was released which suggests that the problem may be more widespread than originally thought, and that Sheriff Ken Jen may have known about it all along. The sheriff admitted to reporters last month that his department's remarkable record of solving cases was false, but the new information shows that he knew of a widespread problem 5 years ago. The new report says that officers routinely falsified records to close cases. These new reports might explain the show of support that was shown when officers packed the courtroom in solidarity during Thyman and Zapata's arraignment. An Indian woman in New York City who worked as a police officer has filed an employment discrimination lawsuit claiming that a police sergeant who was her superior treated her like a maid and had ordered her to wash and iron his shirts at police headquarters. The lawsuit, which was filed in Manhattan federal court last month, alleges a disturbing pattern of conduct by superior officers in the unit which employed the female officer. The woman says that in addition to ordering her to do his laundry, Sergeant Salvatore Ruffolo frequently berated a black police officer by asking him to act like a monkey in front of other officers. She says that her attempts to report the behavior to Internal Affairs were ignored.
I'm in the courtroom because I want to know the truth about what happened that night.
I was a little upset because my boyfriend's tent got ripped up and our summer chairs went in the water. And you know, it's our home down there. We make it like our home down there. We love it down there. I feel I'm doing the right thing because if I didn't speak up or did what I did, they would probably think they could do it again or do it to other people.
Testimony began this week in the trial of an Ithaca, New York police officer who was one of four officers involved in the destruction of a homeless community last summer. Officer Kevin McKenna is charged with one count of official misconduct and three counts of criminal mischief. Each charge comes with a possible $1,000 fine and up to 1 year in jail. Prosecutors say that when McKenna entered the homeless enclave at 4 in the morning on July 26, 2004, he started throwing furniture and other objects into a nearby creek. He also cut up tarps and tents used by the residents for shelter and overturned a picnic table and other items used by the residents. Another police officer implicated in the attack by testimony already heard by the court, Officer Chris Miller, has not been charged with the crime. McKenna's trial continues this week. A police officer in Newport, Rhode Island, was indicted this week for an assault which took place last October. Officer Morris Sellers was indicted by a grand jury this week and faces a charge of misdemeanor assault when he is arraigned in court later this month. No details are available regarding the nature of the assault or the identity of the victim. Sellers has been placed on administrative duty. A veteran police officer in Rock Hill, South Carolina, was arrested on Monday and charged with beating three men while he was on duty. Officer Derek Williams is charged with three counts of assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature relating to three separate incidents in July 2001, April 2002, and June 2002. The indictment claims that Williams, who is white, beat or kicked the men, who were all black, after they were in custody and subdued or lying on the ground. One man was sprayed in the face with a chemical, and another had dirt kicked in his face by the officer. Williams resigned from the force in January 2003 after an internal police investigation, which determined that he used excessive force in an April 2002 arrest. There are still potentially five other allegations against Williams, which authorities are asking state authorities to look into. A police officer in Appleton, Wisconsin, pleaded not guilty this week to 22 counts of child sex abuse. Officer Gerald Polzin is accused of assaulting two boys, one 15 and one 16. One of the boys was a student at Appleton East High School, where Polzin worked as a police liaison officer. The officer is currently being held in custody in lieu of a $100,000 bail because he is considered a serious flight risk. When Polzin learned he was being investigated, he started to visit websites to research how to get a fake ID, how to disappear, how to fake a death, how to avoid capture, wilderness living, and how to avoid police. Polzin is accused of possessing, importing, and exporting child pornography. The officer's trial is scheduled to begin on May 3rd. A sixth Waterford, Pennsylvania police officer faces allegations this week relating to an ongoing internal misconduct investigation. Sergeant Richard Bach is the sixth officer of the 24-member police force to be suspended in recent months. The town recently hired a special prosecutor to look into allegations of sexual misconduct and drug activity in the Waterford department. Meanwhile, the town is in negotiations with its officers over the alarmingly high salaries that they earn and the fact that some officers have failed to perform their jobs adequately. Nearly half of the force's officers earn more than $90,000 per year, and one quarter of the force's officers have been suspended in the last 3 months. A fourth allegation of misconduct has come to light against one of the officers accused in a current lawsuit against three police officers in Menlo Park, California. At the same time, the city's lawyers were in court seeking a dismissal of the lawsuit filed against the three officers, Scott McDans, Kevin Paugh, and Matthew Bacon. The three are accused of assaulting an unarmed man in his home, falsely charging him with resisting arrest, and filing false police reports about the incident. A woman has come forward who says that McDaniels and two other officers stormed into her home and kicked and beat her and manhandled her husband when she called 911 for help after dislocating her shoulder, the result of a pre-existing medical condition, and not the domestic violence which the officers arrested her husband for. The couple filed a lawsuit which was settled out of court. Two other men have come forward who have also claimed that McDaniels used excessive force and filed false reports in their separate arrests. Both men claim that McDaniels beat and falsely arrested or cited them after they'd committed minor traffic infractions, one on July 17th and the other on August 2nd of last year. A grand jury has indicted two police officers and a youth police volunteer for severely beating a man while they were off duty in East Palo Alto, California. Officers Johnny Taflinger and Edward Rivers, along with the volunteer Eddie Torres, have each been charged with two felonies, assault on a citizen under color of authority, and assault by means of force likely to cause great bodily injury, and misdemeanor counts of battery. The victim of the alleged beating was never charged with a crime. Prosecutors say that the three chased the man and beat him while trying to pry a piece of crack cocaine from his hand. If convicted, the three face 7 years in prison, and the two police officers will not be able to work in law enforcement again. The lawyer for a police officer who conducted a probe into police misconduct in Edmonton, Alberta, 22 years ago, is calling for an inquiry into the destruction of the file which documented the investigation. The officer looked into allegations made in 1983 that officers were picking up prostitutes and forcing them to have sex and then stealing their money. Eventually, the officer was ordered to end his investigation. A former Edmonton police chief said that the file was destroyed as a matter of police policy, which requires that old police files be destroyed after 10 years. It was later determined that no such policy exists. The New York State Attorney General's office is investigating a pattern of police brutality in the Long Island town of Southold. The investigation, which was a secret until it was uncovered by a local newspaper, is looking into numerous allegations of brutality against the department. Two men have filed lawsuits claiming that they were beaten by Officer Stephen Zahosky. One man claims in a lawsuit that in December 2003, Zahosky beat him after he was handcuffed during a traffic stop and then slammed against a truck, knocking him unconscious. Another man won a lawsuit where he claimed he was brutally beaten by Zahosky earlier in 2003. That individual was awarded $250,000. Another man has come forward complaining that he was pulled over and beaten by another Southold officer and not charged with a crime. Another victim who contacted a local newspaper also claims he was violently abused by police. Several sources have indicated that there are other allegations which may not have been made public yet. Zahosky was placed on administrative leave in December 2003, but his current status is not clear.
Marvin was supposed to be protected. Instead, he was killed by a drunken cop.
Some new information has come to light this week about a police officer in Detroit who killed a teenage pedestrian in a drunk car crash last week. Last week, we told you about how Officer Steve Compton was released on a personal bond over loud objections from relatives of the dead boy after being charged with manslaughter and impaired driving. Although Compton does not have a criminal record, he does have a long driving record, which indicated that the officer's license had been suspended at least 4 times in the past. A teenager who was beaten by police has filed a lawsuit against 3 police officers and the mayor of Sweetwater, Florida. The teenager claims he was severely beaten after he was handcuffed during an arrest for evading a traffic stop. The teenager was then transported to a police station in the mayor's SUV. He was beaten further during the trip, and the mayor, who was along for the ride, witnessed both attacks. Officers ignored the teenager's requests for medical attention until one officer intervened because he thought the boy looked gray and near death. The teenager was then taken to hospital where he underwent surgery to repair his kidneys and liver, and where he remained for some time afterwards. The 3 police officers named in the lawsuit are Alan St. Germain, George Alvarez, and Catalino Rodriguez. All 3 officers were suspended without pay at the time of the incident, and St. Germain and Alvarez were charged with battery and official misconduct in June 2004. A police officer in Las Vegas may face internal discipline because he should have been aware of the drug activity going on in his home. Officer Dave Braden was suspended in October after his wife was arrested and charged with selling methamphetamine out of their home. An internal investigation has found that Braden engaged in conduct unbecoming an officer and consorted with persons of ill repute, both violations of department policy. Braden's punishment could range from a suspension to job termination. A group of religious leaders in Springfield, Massachusetts, have filed a racial discrimination complaint against the city's police department. The complaint accuses the police department of a pattern of police brutality and discrimination against visible minorities. The complaint was filed just 1 week after the police commission decided not to pursue action against five officers who beat a black school principal while he was having a diabetic attack. The man says that he was attacked by officers who kicked and punched him and accused him of being on drugs after dragging him through a broken car window. The man is suing the officers in federal court. A police officer in Nashville, Tennessee, is on trial this week for beating up a man he arrested in August 2003. Pierre Larkin is charged with assault, official misconduct, and official oppression. Larkin is accused of removing the man's handcuffs before beating him to make it look as though the man had attacked him. The first reports of the officer's misconduct were made by one of his fellow officers. The department fired Larkin following an internal investigation of the incident. In addition to the murders already mentioned in this program, police also killed people this week in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where police killed a First Nations youth, Louisville, Kentucky, Orange County, California, Fresno, California, Salem, New Hampshire, Farmers Branch, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Buford, Georgia, Ontario, Oregon, and this week, police in Los Angeles killed two people, one of whom was a 13-year-old boy who the police describe as a gangster. That's all for this week. Tune into this station next week for more. Email your comments and story ideas to ihatepigs@hotmail.com. Thanks to everyone who sent us stories for this week's show. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. Each week we end Bad Cop No Donut with a song. This week, it's Killer Cops by the UK Subs.